What's up? This is Bloody Bill, aka Billy Pond, aka Notorious P.I.G. out here in Way Waste, Texas. I'm the director, writer of such classics as Dollboy, Circus of the Dead, Mr. Fister, and Two Guys in One Cup. And you're listening to 30 Screams or Less podcast. Come get you some.
Warning. 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Oddity. It's written and directed by Damien McCarthy, starring Carolyn Bracken as Danny Timmons and Darcy O'Deller, Johnny French as Declan, and Steve Wall as Ivan. The plot of this movie is a psychic medium attempts to uncover the truth behind her sister's murder at the site of the crime. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out. Support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Oddity?
So this movie was ranted about by so many other content creators that I follow as being one of the best horror films of 2024. After seeing it, I definitely agree that this was an amazing film, and I honestly only had one or two gripes about it that I didn't like. I read your notes briefly, and I know we feel very differently about this.
Yep. Fart in church for me.
Okay, let's hear some more details here.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. It was very slow. They relied on jump scares. I mean, there were a couple creepy things, but nothing really just made me go, oh, that's cool, or, oh, that's interesting. Nothing like that. Nothing did it for me. I just felt like I was sitting there just watching, I don't know, a blind woman sitting around the whole time and then getting upset because of a bitch woman across the way. I don't know. I was so bored. I was just unbelievably bored by it.
It's funny that you mentioned that there were a lot of jump scares, because we'll get to this in my final notes, but the jump scares were the only reason this didn't get a perfect score for me.
Really?
There were too many.
Yeah, you're not a fan of jump scares anyways.
I like them when they're done tastefully and not fucking an hour and a half worth.
Right. Not opening up the closet and like shit falls down. It's like, oh no, I'm scared.
Well, the thing is with like these types of movies, when you rely on jump scares, to me, they're all predictable. Mm-hmm. Like I know when they're coming most of the time. Like I like them when they're not predictable, but movies like this, you know it's coming. Typically you watch a horror movie and you clench your asshole for the whole hour and a half because you know that there's going to be a scare coming.
Yeah.
But this, it's just, hey, it's a dark room and it's silent. I know it's coming.
Yeah, very quiet. Like when the wife was in the tent, right? And clearly we're about to get a jump scare as she unzips the tent and the guy's right there. It's like, oh, okay, jump scare number one. So it just used cheesy parlor tricks for fucking horror purposes. I was like, this is tired. I've seen this all before. This isn't really scary. I will say this. I did like the twist at the end. Which was the...
Yeah, the twist was very cool.
Yeah, the twist was very cool of the husband being behind the whole thing. I mean, he was kind of a dick to begin with, especially if his wife is murdered and he's already seeing some other chick, some floozy, some Jezebel on already.
We need merch that says that on it.
What's that?
We said we need merch that says floozy and Jezebel on it.
Oh, yeah, just get all the old sayings, all the slurs of those days.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm going to make it. Jezebel, floozy, homewrecker, charlatan, just fucking down the board.
New coffee mugs with like those words just all over it.
I love it. So yeah, visit 30screamsorless.com, click the shop link at the top, buy some merch. We got some cool stuff. All right, so back to this movie. Again, it just didn't really do it for me. I don't know. Like the ending, the twist at the end was cool, like I was saying, with the husband. And I kind of didn't see that coming. The jump scare of the toe biting, the fuck was that?
I can't explain that
one. Yeah, I know. So the husband gets away with this whole thing scot-free. And then, like, I'm already jumping way to the end, obviously, but a ghost bellboy now hanging out at his house? Okay. That's.
I thought that was going to be the item because, you know, this movie was billed as, like, this psychic woman uses an object to, like, investigate a murder.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be the bell. And then it just ends up being a fucking, what was it, a contact lens?
No, it was a different one. So the contact lens was from the guy who was trying to warn the wife that someone went inside the house.
And this part,
go ahead.
Maybe there were other things I didn't like.
Okay, yes. Let's hear it.
Why was she even entertaining the idea of letting this random guy in her house?
Yeah, I don't know. She was a little nice about it. But at what point do you go, huh, this is interesting, because he's like, okay, I'll go get the cops. And then she's like, I'm going to call the cops. And he's like, yes, please do. So, okay. So when someone says you need to call the cops because someone's in your house, I saw them get in there and you need to get out of there.
You might do it, right?
You're tempted
to. Just to come and look, maybe?
And he's like, I'll just come in. I'll look. Like, he's being really nice about it. And he was just, like, trying to save her. And
yeah, but he did look like a, maybe just like a grimy homeless person. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Who will say anything just to get in, like, get a place to stay or rob someone or whatever.
So with all of this in mind, she was just like, yeah, you can come in.
Yeah, she was debating on it. And then she, like, didn't, right? She didn't, like, fully open the door. And then she just decided, like, to back away and grab a hammer and then...
Yeah, and then it cuts.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're meeting Darcy. Was it Darcy?
Yeah.
Was Darcy the psychic?
Yes, Darcy was the psychic. Actually...
Yeah, so next thing you know, we're meeting... What?
I want to take a step back before we talk about Darcy. Now that I'm kind of thinking about it, there was no real entities about that place, right?
No.
Nothing whatsoever. So why did the camera just randomly go off when there was no one there?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Movie magic.
Yep.
So I'm thinking to myself, when I saw the camera go off, like she walked by, it was all motion sensor. So she walks by, it goes off. Fair enough. And then it goes off again when she's like past the point where it would do the motion detection.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, now we've got some sort of demon. We've got a ghost, something like that. That's where the whole psychic comes in and sees these things happening. So it turns out, that's not the case. It's just an actual guy that went in the house and murdered her. So there was no rhyme or reason for the camera going off. It just did. Maybe it's just a double click. I don't know. So they set this like precedence at the beginning that it was like some sort of entity when it wasn't. It was just a guy that was hired by her husband to fucking kill her.
Yeah, that was such a cool twist. I really did like that twist.
That was a good twist. I liked it. So
and then like they planned this. Ivan thought they were planning this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to frame it on a patient in the hospital.
Yeah, which they did. It worked for the most part. And Darcy didn't believe it the slightest bit because with her psychic abilities, she's able to basically hold these objects and see what's going on with that person, like the life that they experience and things like that. And she got the eye from that Aleister Black, Malachi Black, because he looked like him, you know, with the fucking eye and just like the whole motif,
yeah,
everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Malachi Black looking motherfucker. So she grabs the eye from him after he dies. I don't know how she got it, but she did. And just by holding it, she could tell that he didn't kill her. So she didn't believe it the whole time. Obviously, the husband, he decides to go visit Darcy and give her something. And I think it was the eye, right?
He gave her that. It was like a trinket box or something with the eye.
That's what it was.
Was it glass eye? That's what it was.
Yeah, a glass eye. Okay, so he gave that to her. And she wanted to, I'm sure, to like see what the killer was seeing, that type deal. And then that's when the husband is just like, oh, yeah, I've got a new girlfriend now. And she's living with me and blah, blah, blah. And it just happened so quick. Which, a little messed up. When you see that kind of stuff, you're like, that's a little obvious that you probably wanted the wife gone so that way you can be with this new floozy.
That's another thing. Fucking this girl, Yana, absolutely hated Darcy for no reason.
Oh, she was such a douche.
And there was never any backstory to that either. Like, why was she so pissed at this girl's sister?
The only thing I can think of is another hen in the house type thing, right? It's like, why is your ex-wife's sister hanging out here? And she doesn't want it. Obviously, she doesn't want anything that has to do with that. She understands it because it was like a traumatic thing that he went through. But obviously, when you're dating someone new, you're not going to want your girlfriend coming around, let alone your girlfriend's family. So like,
what was the time frame between the fuck was her name? What does, did they say what the timeline was between Danny dying and Darcy investigating this murder?
No, there wasn't much of a time frame, I don't think, because he was already seeing that girl like at work and it just happened really quick. I don't think there was an actual time frame, though. They didn't say like months or a year or anything like that.
I think they actually did. I just don't remember what it was. Like, Darcy made a comment about how, like, wow, you're seeing this woman after my sister being dead for X and X amount of months or years or whatever.
Oh, she did say that?
Like, he moved on quick kind of thing?
Yeah, he moved on very quick, which is obviously suspicious. But for the most part in this movie, what happened is Darcy goes to the house. She decides to stay there. And just kind of shows up on a false invitation, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, if you're in the area, come on by. And you're just saying it to be nice. You don't expect that person to show up. But Darcy did that anyways. She shows up, and they're just like, what are you doing here? And Darcy's like, oh, you invited me.
And then she wouldn't leave.
Yeah, and then she wouldn't leave. And it was kind of just this weird situation. Darcy would sit there and sleep in the couch, like sit on the couch and sleep like a maniac. And behind her is this fucking wooden mannequin looking thing where its mouth is just wide open.
Dude, you got to admit that that thing looked amazing. Yes. It was creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it was creepy as fuck. I liked how that subtly was like changing direction. Mm-hmm. That I thought was really cool because it's telling you like, okay, what the fuck is happening there? Is that some sort of demon? Is it like some sort of cursed item? Whatever. So it gives you that like idea that that's happening. But really, the only supernatural things that are happening in that house is Danny. Now that she's dead, she's like hanging out in the house. And then whatever that fucking thing is. And we don't even really know what it is. It's clearly just some sort of like killer from maybe that inherited this wooden mannequin thing. And then Darcy had it. And that's why she probably brought it as a protector. Because that thing got its revenge later on with one of the...
yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
That was kind of... It was corny, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty corny.
Like, imagine the guy that had to get all that makeup on that had to pretend he was a fucking statue.
Yep, just sitting there like...
And squash someone's head.
Yep. Oh, God. And like, at that halfway house, I was thinking it was like a mental institution, but it seemed a little too... not cozy, little too free-flowing, like they're able to just go outside randomly and just draw and shit. It's like, okay, that doesn't really seem like a mental institution. So, yeah, that halfway house, that fucking thing shows up there and squishes someone's head, and that Malachi Black-looking guy sees the guy's head exploded on the floor, and he gets blamed for the whole thing. And, I don't remember how he died. Do you remember how?
Who?
The guy that was like, he was the fall guy for this whole thing. Was that his head that exploded?
Good question.
Yeah. I think...
For as much as I say I like this movie, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
In our defense, though, we watched this movie, like, almost a week ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, not really. I watched it on Sunday. But what did we do on...
It's
we
Wednesday.
Did something on Sunday. What?
Huh?
Well, I did it, like, a few days ago. I watched it a few days ago, but that day we were also drinking and watching wrestling.
Yeah, that's right. And I asked you if you watched the movie yet, and you're like, we haven't decided on one. I'm like, what do you mean? We talked about it last week.
You're right. We did talk about it. I'm like, oh, fuck. That's right. You said that. So I went home. I watched it, and I don't know. I just sat there, and I was like, I was taking a bunch of notes. It looks like I was interested in it because of all the notes I take. I take a shit ton of notes.
I was going to say, as usual, you'll have way more than I do.
Yeah. Well, I fucking just talk my ass off here. So I made all these notes, and they're really not even anything good to talk about. It's more like just me being an idiot talking about stupid shit. So yeah, we're starting to see some supernatural stuff. There's one point where the girlfriend Yara, she picks up Danny's old camera and she's kind of looking through it. She's looking at some of the photos and she sees this video on there. And then Danny's in the corner saying she needs to run. And it's like, okay, gotta get the fuck out of there. And she gets all freaked out and heads out. And then we don't see her for pretty much the rest of the movie. So then
she gone.
Yeah, then she's gone. And then Darcy's just hanging out around the house. We see scenes about the husband, well, the ex-husband and an orderly. They actually planned this whole fucking thing. And
I got to back up the train here.
Let's back up the train. Sure.
Did they ever explain why there was she was camping in the basement?
No.
Okay. Because the first time we see this tent in the basement and Darcy's down there, well, because she's trying to relive what her sister went through.
Yeah.
Like in the basement, in a tent.
I guess. And maybe it's just right. They were still working on it and there wasn't a bed in there. And then as soon as she was dead, he got a bed in there and that's when he was like shacking up with that girl. So I feel like there was a lot that was unclear about this movie. A lot of questions. A lot of like, why is this even a thing? Why is this happening? This doesn't make sense. That place also was not a cabin. That was like a fucking fortress, man.
It was. Absolutely was. Especially because like you get to that scene where we'd never mentioned that Darcy is blind.
Right. Oh, yeah. Good point. That's important.
So we never mentioned that Darcy is blind and Ted's trying to get rid of Darcy.
Yeah.
And the trap door.
Oh, this is a good part. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this part was pretty cool. How he's got, for some reason, he's just got a fucking trap door in his castle.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Darcy is blind and she starts walking because she hears a noise or whatever right through the hole.
Yep. Just falls straight down. Splat. You would think with someone with such psychic ability would be able to notice like, something's amiss. I guess not. So she just fell through this hole. So it was kind of cool, the little trap that this guy set up. So this is the husband. He came home and saw that Darcy was freaking out. So he's like talking to her like, hey, I'm going to go. I'll leave my phone here. Stay put. When you hear my phone ring, you'll know it's safe. And he pulled this little wooden piece from in between them away. And that's how she fell in. It's because he called the phone. She felt her death. The orderly then goes over. And that's when the whole lunacy happens of the wooden mannequin coming to life and fucking him up.
That the mannequin was so awesome. I really do like that concept. They just being the person that has to wear that thing.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine.
No. It's pretty cool looking. That guy got real fucked up, but not dead. So he gets the shit beat out of him by this wooden mannequin. You would think that the wooden mannequin would actually explode the guy's head because that's clearly the killer. But he just fucked him up. And later on, we see he's now in the halfway house, all chained up. Well, not chained up, but wrapped up with the fucking leather braces and things like that to the bed. And that's when the husband, Tim, he's like, I heard that you're going to be trying to tell people about what happened. And he's like trying to redeem himself or whatever. And he's basically saying to him, no one's going to believe you because you're fucking crazy. And then, And then we get that weird toe biting scene out of nowhere. It's like, what the fuck? So the husband goes back to the house and there's a box and it's from the oddity shop that Darcy had. So he brings it inside. He opens it. He didn't believe that these items had any sort of spirits to them. And this item in particular was like a bell at a hotel to call the bellboy. Duh. So he's like, I'm going to hit the bell. He hits the bell. Doesn't see anything happen. And then he hits it like one more time. We cut away and it's like a ghost bellboy standing next to him. And then the movie ends.
It's like he summoned Beetlejuice.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Except no hilarity.
The part that ended right at that moment is pretty funny because there's no explanation.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, fuck you. You got your bellboy. So we closed that loop. Cool. You didn't close anything else, though. So the whole movie just kind of fell flat for me. I had a lot of questions. A lot of stuff with like cheap jump scares. So, yeah, this movie just didn't really do it for me. Honestly, I think I should just get into my review, but I usually like to ask you first. Corey, what did you think of Oddity? What do you give it?
So this, as I said before, this is almost a perfect score for me. So it gets a 4 out of 5.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot, but again, it relied on jump scares a lot, which is not my cup of tea. And also the only reason, again, I'm not giving this a perfect score. I really like the use of lighting, and I think they did a fantastic job of building dread for the whole hour and a half or however long it was.
Yeah.
This is one of those films that actually, I think, uses silence perfectly. So much so that you think some of the noises that you're hearing are actually happening around you in your living room. Like, I couldn't tell you how many times I actually looked around thinking like my house was making a noise or something, you know?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
And we talked about this before. The twist with Ted being behind everything is not something I saw coming at any point in the film.
I didn't
and
either.
I do understand why this is one of the best under the radar films of 2024 now, having seen it.
No shit. Okay. So for me, I'm like stark difference. Gonna go with a 2 out of 5.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. Not awful, but I was pretty bored through most of it. I will say this, that I didn't think it was the orderly that killed the wife. So finding that out and that the husband orchestrated it was a nice twist, as we discussed. Other than that, the movie was really more about mood and some weird things happening, which led to a climax where the orderly was punished by being locked up in an asylum, getting his toe bit, while the husband gets to live on with his life, but with a ghost bellboy. I'm pretty much oversimplifying it. In the words of Corey, this just missed the mark with me.
Do I say that a lot?
You do say that. Yeah.
Holy shit. All yeah, right. So we both have our things, apparently.
We both do have our things. You have your own thing. I have plenty of them, but that one's yours. This one just missed the mark with me.
That one's going on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it should be like a bullseye, right? And the fucking arrow is just flying right by it on the back. This just missed the mark with me.
I don't know if we can have a bullseye on a shirt.
Oh, fucking good point. You don't want to get people fucking shot and stuff, right?
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. It's not happening.
No, well, Target sells shirts, right?
With Targets on them?
I guess.
Target sells shirts with Targets on them?
They have to. Like, buy Target merch here. You know, like they're setting up shop at a fucking local show selling t-shirts and mugs and all sorts of stuff. They're like us.
With just a big Target logo on the middle of it?
Fuck yeah. I don't think they do, but prime opportunity to sell some Target merch. People maybe want to rep Target. Who knows? It'll be like Target.
Target has some cult following, so
they
it's
do.
Possible.
They do. Mostly single moms.
Maybe we can get a partnership with Target next.
Sign me up. And then, yeah, then we'll have the Target on the front. It will be their logo. And then on the back. This just missed the mark with me.
Okay. Actually, I like that.
We'll just fucking rip them off so bad.
So when the CEO of Target listens to this episode, reach out to our agent.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, you're going to have to give us a blank check, pal.
Yeah. So, yeah, 2 out of 5 for me, 4 out of 5 for Corey. I don't know. We'll split the difference. 3 out of 5.
This is cool because we've talked about this many times on this podcast where taste is subjective. And this is just another episode where our opinions vastly differ.
Yeah, you know,
and that's a good thing because we're not giving movies 5 stars every week, you know?
You're right, because we've been a little bit 5-star whores for the past few weeks.
Yeah, well, we got to stop watching good movies.
That's our problem. We need to get into the junk. You know,
well, in your case, this was junk.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was pretty bored for most of it. I like looked at the time and saw how much time was left, and it was only an hour. I'm like, fuck.
Yikes.
Yeah. And it was only an hour and a half.
I was glued to it, man. I do understand what you're saying, though, with it has its slow parts, though. But I just think they were done so well.
Yeah. Yeah. And fair enough. But yeah, it was whatever. It was a movie. It was a movie for you as an epic, a masterpiece.
Yep. Right up there with Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. I would expect nothing less.
There we go. That's a merch idea, too.
Yeah.
Right up there with Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's good. We'll just make all this merch and see if we get sued at some point.
Is that going to be our new goal, to see if we get sued?
Yeah, that's the whole point. And just be like, we got sued. And then like we'll post all the companies and they're going to sue us again for having their logos on our shirts.
That's okay, because we'll be getting that Target money, so we'll be able to fight any lawsuits.
That's right. We'll have the Target 30 Screams or Less collab shirt. It'd be fucking sick. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.